I walked up on her and was almost paralyzed. Her neck was smelling sweeter than a plate of yams with extra syrup. Eyes beaming like 4 carats apiece, just blinding. And felt like I cheated the whole order at presidential. My heart would be so damn fast. Never knowing this moment would bring another life into this world. Funny how shit come together sometimes, you dig? One moment you frequent the booty clubs, and the next 4 years you and somebody's daughter raising your own youngin'. Now that's a beautiful thing. That's if you're on top of your game and man enough to handle real life situations, that is. Can't gamble feeding baby on that dope money. Might not always be sufficient. But the United Parcel Service and the people at the post office didn't call you back because you had cloudy pee. So now you back in the trap. Just that. Trap. Go on and marinate on that for a minute.
This is
KBOO Portland.
The time is 11 p.m. and you are tuned to the Ubu Hour.
Radio Theater!
It rubs a lotion on its skin. Can I help you find some lotion today?
Nothing, thank you.
Well, have a nice day. That's the third one today.
Yeah, business has been fickle since we opened this shop, hasn't it?
We've been open 6 weeks in a completely cool location. It doesn't get more hip than the Pearl Street Mall in Boulder, Colorado.
Right. So why are people buying our products?
Beats me. We're the only store on the mall that solely sells lotion. Organic hemp hand lotion, goat milk face lotion, apricot seed foot lotion, sage and lavender ear lotion.
I really thought there'd be a rush in our pumpkin spice lymph node lotion.
Do you remember when we thought of the idea to open It Rubs the Lotion on Its Skin? People thought we were crazy. They said we should branch out.
They said we'd never make it as a lotions-only store. The one consultant from Denver tried to convince us to sell oils, creams, tinctures.
Or to branch out into general unguents.
But no, we remain true to the purity of It Puts the Lotion on Its Skin, a store selling solely lotions.
Lotions, and lotions only.
It rubs the lotion on its skin.
How can we help you?
Ask them, Jimmy.
Do you guys sell hoses?
What?
Do you guys know where Buffalo Bill is hiding?
I'm sorry, who?
Buffalo Bill?
I'm afraid there isn't anyone by that name working here.
Well, wasn't that odd?
They came in earlier this week and said the same things.
There was a chicken wing restaurant here before us. Maybe this Bill character worked there.
It rubs the lotion on its skin. How can we help you?
What's this shop all about?
We're a lotion shop. We have a lotion for all your bodily needs.
So that's it? Just lotions?
That's right. No oils, creams, or other unguents. Just lotions.
Yeah, I get it. But why did you name your shop It Rubs the Lotion on Its Skin?
Well, what do you do with lotion but rub it on your skin? And we wanted to be an all-inclusive shop. We didn't want to use he or she because that might alienate some clientele. Using the gender-neutral pronoun it sends a message that all persons are welcome, regardless of their gender identities.
I guess we could have gone second person, but that would have been creepy.
Yeah, I get it. I understand the concept of pronouns and the importance of multiple gender inclusivity. That's not what I mean. It rubs the lotion on its skin is a line from a movie.
A movie?
Yeah, a movie. A movie about a serial killer.
Oh, no.
Y'all have seriously never seen Silence of the Lambs?
I heard about it, but as a vegetarian, I wasn't about to support a Hollywood film about the suppression of our animal brothers' voices.
Nah, that's not what the movie was about. It was about this one serial killer helping to track another serial killer. The second killer was a transsexual who skinned women alive so that he could wear their skins. This particular character, Buffalo Bill, keeps one girl trapped in a pit in his basement. Every day, he gives her a bottle of lotion, and he makes her rub it on her skin so that when he kills her, her skin is soft enough for him to wear. While he's doing this, he tells her, "It rubs the lotion on its skin."
No.
Yeah, so I just thought that you naming your shop with that exact line was a little bit unusual. That's all. Good luck with your business.
What are the chances of that? Maybe we should watch the movie.
No. From the way that guy described it, it sounds awful. It rubs the lotion on its skin. How can we...
Nobody move. This is a stick-up.
What?
Give me all the money in the register.
But we haven't made any sales. We don't have any money.
Goddamn specialty shops. I should have... Give me that bottle of lotion.
Of course.
Hurry, I hear the cops. Put it in this basket.
Just don't hurt
us. Put the fucking lotion in the basket.
No reason to get rude, sir. Well, that was unpleasant.
My goodness. Do you think we should change the name of the shop?
How about put the lotion in the basket?
Put the lotion in the basket. It does have a nice ring, doesn't it?
Put the lotion in the basket now. Put the lotion in the basket now.
I have no problem when it comes to size, not at all. Down there, it is huge, I can assure you. It is very big. I'd pull down my pants and show all of you if we weren't on national TV. Trust me, huge in that department. I have the biggest, most presidential balls of anyone on this stage.
Okay, Trump, go for the jugular. Nail them up.
Look at Jeb. Low energy. He can't even get an erection on Viagra. And little Smocko over there, don't get me started. I'm just saying. Karsik and Kaysen, couple of limp ones for you. None of them are well equipped, not at all. Mine is the biggest and hardest, which is why I will be the greatest leader America has ever known.
That's right, Trump. You are the greatest. Show them how great you are.
Look at my hot wife. Compare her to Tez's wife, John's wife. Do you want to have to look at one of those hatchet-faced shrews in the White House for the next 4 or 8 years? No, I didn't think so. My wife is hot. And my daughter, she is one hot piece of ass, yeah.
Back on track, Trump. Get back on track.
I'm a winner in every way, and that's what America needs right now, a winner. I will be the greatest winner, the greatest president this nation has ever seen. When I am done, they will build a monument to me, the Trump Monument, and it will be many, many times bigger and whiter and taller than the Washington Monument.
When I am done, they will build a monument to me, the Trump Monument, and it will be many, many times bigger and whiter and taller than the Washington Monument.
Yeah, with orange hair on top. What the fuck is this guy talking about?
He's fucking crazy, I tell ya!
We'll sandblast the four faces off of Mount Rushmore and replace it with one enormous image of me. That's how much you'll like me. This country will be so great when I'm the boss. We will do great things again.
Oh, please, turn it off! How can you watch that shit?
I can't stop watching it. It's an utter train wreck, and it's totally entertaining.
Every 4 years, the clown show gets more and more ridiculous.
The only difference? Usually the most boring guy wins. Romney, McCain. But this year, the clowns have risen to the top and they're still on top.
How can anyone support that buffoon? It baffles the imagination.
It's totally crazy that he's getting all these votes.
Indeed, listener. Perhaps you, too, have been mystified by the strange events that have transpired in this presidential season. The pundits and spin doctors who worked in the shadows of the party were dumbfounded.
We thought he was a joke at first, like Michelle Bachmann or Rudy Giuliani. We thought he was some early summer fad, a joke that would soon fade away.
It was no fucking joke, let me tell you. This guy is destroying us. This guy is destroying the party.
All the stupid things he said. Sure, any one of us might say similar things in private, behind closed doors among our friends, away from the riffraff.
But to say that stuff in public, in speeches and debates, to expose that stuff on national television?
At first we thought his campaign would self-destruct. There's no way people would vote for him. The experts assured us he didn't have a chance.
Nothing he did or said made a difference. The stupidity and inanity rolled out of his mouth, and yet they came in droves to push the lever for him.
Table News, where we bring you all Trump all the time.
The networks ate it up. It was nonstop coverage meant to make him look like a celebrity clown. And yet, at every step along the campaign trail, his supporters swarmed the polling booths and caucus rooms.
One after another of our chosen candidates crashed and burned in defeat. How did the expert get it so wrong? How could we have been so wrong? And now he is winning!
It was not the best of times, but it was the weirdest of times. Billionaire, real estate developer, and media celebrity Donald Trump was the leading candidate of one of the two major political parties.
We are going to build a vast wall. It will be a great wall. I know how to build big, beautiful things, and the wall will be very big and very beautiful. And it will have my name on it in big letters. Thank you, everyone.
What are you doing? Are you still watching that?
I don't know. I need to turn it off.
You've been acting very strange.
What do you mean?
This, your ballot.
Did our ballots come today?
Uh-huh. When did you change your party to Republican?
Republican? No, I'm not a Republican. Hey, give me that ballot.
The county must have made a mistake.
Where are you going? Are you going to hang out with us and fill in your ballot?
No, I want to do it alone. I don't need your help. I'm afraid they will laugh at me. I look down at the ballot confused. The numbers and letters swim up at me in an incoherent mess. But one name is clear. I clutch the pen tightly, and I mark the box. I look around to make sure no one sees me. Then, I stick the ballot in the security envelope and stick that into the mailing envelope.
You're back.
Are you sure you're okay?
I don't know. I don't know why. I don't even know why I was acting like that. I'll be okay.
You left in a hurry. Where did you go?
I don't remember. I don't remember anything about the last hour.
That's weird. You don't remember?
What do you think?
I don't know. It's like he was in a trance. I followed him down to the mailbox on 52nd, and he dropped off an envelope.
The ballot?
Uh-huh. That's what it was, the ballot.
Speaking of which, let's fill ours out. Kelly?
Yeah?
Do you want to join us?
We're filling out our ballots.
I already did mine. Sealed up. Done. I'm taking it down to the election office now.
But we always do it together.
Not this time. I need to take my ballot down to the election office right now. I need to.
Why not do a bong hit first?
Election office right now. I need to take my ballot down to the election office right now.
Okay. That was strange. I think something's not right here.
What do you mean?
The way people are acting, Kelly and that other one, it's like they're in some sort of trance.
Yeah, Kelly did seem kind of strange, didn't he? Maybe he smoked too much pot today or something.
No. I'm telling you, something is not right. Earlier today, I was outside the county election headquarters at 10th and Morrison, and it was like half the people were walking around in a trance, like they were asleep and awake at the same time.
It's just the sheep, voting for who the corporate money people tell them to vote for.
No. It's like their minds have been taken over. There's something in their head. A voice in their head. There has to be some reason all those people are voting for him.
You're not making any sense.
None of it makes sense. None of this should be happening, and yet it happens. Open your eyes. Something is going on here. I feel like I'm in a remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Something is taking over people's minds and making them vote for that complete clown.
Let me ask you, listener, have you recently felt like you are living in an episode of The Twilight Zone? Why is this happening? How can people have become so crazy?
Meanwhile, no one was feeling this more than the party faithful. They were shitting their $1,000 suit pants to figure out a way to stop the man who had steamrolled their selections in the early contests.
Let it get this far.
We don't know what hit us, a train or something.
We expected him to get the lame brain vote and the out-and-out racists, the white supremacists and the triple K'ers.
Those people gave up on you and your party values years ago. They don't want the dog whistles anymore. They don't want little hints here and there.
Don't you people get it? All your conservative values mean nothing to a large percent of your supporters.
You think they care about religion? Then why are they voting for a man who serially marries mail-order brides? A man who doesn't care two shits about the Bible?
You helped us create these people. You and all the hate radio out there. These people, they don't want the dog whistles anymore. They want raw meat. And that's what our candidate is giving them. The raw, red meat of truth.
Look at these steaks. Believe me, I love steak, and these drumsteaks are the best. Look at these juicy steaks. And when I'm president, there will be steaks for all of you. You'll eat so much steak, you'll be sick of steak.
We didn't think you'd get so many people. Soon we realized it wasn't just the idiots and racists that were voting for him.
Huge numbers of people swarmed to the polls. People who had never voted before. All sorts of people that no one knew existed. The establishment candidates were murdered at the ballot box, one after another.
Practically the only one left standing was Tez Crude. One of the most disliked people on Capitol Hill, smug, smarmy, ultra-religious Senator Tez Crude, waving a Bible in the air, who wanted to create a Christian version of the Taliban in the United States.
Tez Crude looked like a giant bug that had crawled out from underneath a rock. But tonight we will not go down that Kafka-esque twist of plot. Let's just say things were getting ugly fast.
We're gonna kick the Mexicans out. We're gonna kick the Muslims out. We need to make America great again. And I'm the only one who can do it.
There you have it. A speech from presidential candidate Donald Trump.
That was good. Was it good? Did it suck?
Yes, it was very good.
Hey!
You want a drink?
Yes, a drink. And why don't you come over here and sit on my lap, Eva? Sit on the lap of a winner.
Listen, Drump, you can pull all that shit around your daughter and Megyn Kelly, but you keep your hands off me, fresh boy. Here is Zed with your drink.
Why is she so mean to me? I'm a fucking winner. Me! My name is in big letters on many big, beautiful buildings.
You know the rules, Drump. Never forget that we own you. Now here's your drink. Governor Crasty is outside.
Crasty! I don't want anything to do with that fat-ass asshole. He hates me. He's a big bully.
You don't have to deal with him. Not until he's on our side.
Fat chance. He hates my guts.
Now you stay here while we handle the governor.
I don't want to be here by myself. Don't leave me here alone. At least let me watch some porn.
That's right. You watch some porn. Knock yourself off, big boy.
I gotta go. Do me a favor.
At that moment, the wide berth governor of New Jersey, Crass Crasty, was waiting in the parlor with two of his thugs. Two of his aides.
Jeez, governor. Why you want to talk to this schmuck? You know he ain't gonna ever endorse him.
He ain't giving you the Supreme Court, Crass. You can't trust his deals. Every deal he's made has been a swindle or a fuck-up, and someone gets burned. His deals are a mirage. Complete lie.
Believe me, I don't know who I'm endorsing, but it's not that son of an orangutan. He's a fucking idiot. He doesn't have a clue about what he's talking about. He's an empty shell, putting on an act.
Then why the fuck are we here, Governor Crasty?
You got an angle, Crass? You always got an angle.
I just want to see him face to face. I want to try to understand how he stole this from me. Maybe find his weakness so that I can help whoever survives this shitstorm to defeat him.
Well, Governor Crasty, here we are. My name is Zed.
And mine is Ava. We are Mr. Trump's personal confidants.
Really? Oh, I don't know either of you. The Donald couldn't send his campaign manager? Do you know who the fuck I am?
Please, Mr. Crasty. You do want to have a one-on-one talk with Mr. Drump, don't you?
I'm not here to scratch my ass. I just want to talk to him, that's all.
You will, Governor Crasty. But first, you need to watch this video while you wait. In here.
I don't have time for that. If he doesn't want to see me, I can leave.
I believe you have plenty of time, Governor Crasty, now that you are no longer a candidate for the highest office in the land.
Just 5 minutes of your time, Governor Crasty. That's all we ask. I know it sounds weird, but this video might answer some of your questions and facilitate your meeting with Mr. Drunk.
Really? Oh, I have to sit through one of your campaign videos before I get to see him?
That's bullshit, Governor Crasty.
This is pretty Mickey fucking Mouse, if you ask me, Crass.
Yeah, his whole fucking campaign has been a fucking mucky mess. But the motherfucker is still on top.
In here, Governor Crasty. There's room for you and just one of your aides.
Okay, Chumley, shall we?
Boss?
Let's humor these idiots, Chumley. If this is the way to get to the clown, Joe, you stay out here.
Me? Why me?
Joe looks nervously as Zed leads the governor and Chumley into the room. Eva shuts the door behind them, and then she turns and looks at Joe with her astonishingly crisp eyes.
It's not going to be so bad, is it, waiting out here with me?
No, I guess not. So what did you say your name was?
Ava. And your name is Joe, I believe?
You guys never get in the governor's endorsement. Not in a million years. If you think that, you're living in a fucking fantasy, pardon my French.
Is that what you think, Joe?
That's what I know. The governor won't support a buffoon. How can anyone take your man seriously?
And yet he's leading in all polls. And your man will soon be on his knees, vowing his support.
That's crazy talk.
Just like Romney when he begged for the Donald support 4 years ago, on his knees to blow the big one.
Governor Crasly ain't groveling to nobody. And you got a foul mouth, girl. Real foul mouth say things like that.
You'll never taste how sweet my mouth is, though, admittedly, some of the words that come out of it can be rather crude and tasteless.
How much you paying you? If you don't mind my asking.
Why do you want to know?
I may be looking for a job, now that this hasn't worked out. I need to get the fuck out of Trenton. I fucking hate Trenton.
How can we trust you? Why would you work for someone who you think is a buffoon? Isn't that what you called him?
That's what the governor called him, not me. But yeah, we all think he's a joke. I don't care about the governor. His double wide ass ain't going nowhere. Still, you gotta admit, your man is something of a joke.
Yes, a splendid joke. And yet the joke is on you. You can't see how pathetic you are with that tough bravado. Meanwhile, your life is in quicksand. You are sinking in quicksand, Joe. You are way above your head.
You're one fucked up bitch to say that shit to me. I gotta knock your fucking teeth out.
I say it because it's true. These are the last moments of your life, Joe. It will soon be over. And all you can do is call me names and blame me. Very pathetic.
No one calls me pathetic. You're the one who's pathetic. Did he get you from the catalog like he got his mail order brides? Were you hoping to be the next whore he'd marry? And then you realize you're just another dumb trick.
All that bravado doesn't make you any less of a pathetic piece of shit.
I'll mash your face in. No one says shit like that to me.
He grabs her arm and cocks back the fist. She looks at him calmly, not an ounce of fear.
And we're done. You two getting cozy out here?
Having a little fun out here, weren't we, Joe?
Governor Krusty, did you meet the Drump?
No, not yet, but I will very soon.
We're endorsing Drump. He's the only hope for the party.
What the fuck? Did they lay the Supreme Court on you, Governor Krusty? Or the Vice Presidency? You know you can't trust him.
He didn't offer us anything, actually, except his brand, to make America great again. To save America.
None? Not even a cabinet post?
Drump is a winner, and America needs to be a winner again.
Drump is the biggest winner in the world. He's the only one that can do the job.
You guys are fucking with me. You said an hour ago that Drump was a complete clone.
You were always kind of ignorant, Joe.
And not very loyal. You should have heard how he wanted to stab you in the back.
Which is why we can't use him in the Drump campaign.
Governor Krusty, are you serious about endorsing Trump?
That's right. The governor is endorsing the Donald.
He's the only hope we have. He will return our land to greatness and prosperity.
You see that, Joe? I told you so. They're ready to blow and teabag our man. They'd lick it off the floor for him.
What about what you said about him before?
As for you, Joe, we can't use you.
You know what you have to do, Governor Krusty.
To show loyalty to the cause.
Did Sarah have to do this? What did she have to do to show loyalty?
She did much worse. You don't want to know.
Sorry, Joe. I can't stop it. No one can stop it.
It was nice knowing you, Joe. Actually, it wasn't all that pleasant at all. And it will all be forgotten soon.
Krusty? Surely no! Please put those things down. No! Ow! Help me! What happened?
We're endorsing Trump. He's the only hope for the party.
What happened? What did they do to you? Ow! Please, no! Why are you... Help me!
No one did anything to anyone, Joe. Your friends have awoken to the truth. But you, it's too late for you.
Governor Krusty and his thug come at Joe again with golf clubs raised high. Their eyes are glazed over and their faces are expressionless.
What happened in that room? Why are they acting like this?
Swing the clubs long after Joe is dead on the ground. They swung until all that remains is an enormous mound of bloody hamburger meat.
Donald Trump.
nothing but a video. Just watch the video. A super concentrated dose of what we've been feeding television viewers for years.
Reflections of light and sound, the flicker of the pixels in just the right patterns, the subliminal messaging, a sequence of patterns that lock on the brain.
The words and visions sink into your head. We realign your brain waves to think in the correct way, through video and audio processing engineered for hypnotic control.
We open those synapses into your insecurities and we fill it with the drump. We activate the unconscious in the amygdala, the animal brain, and then it lies dormant until we flick the switch.
A sequence of patterns on a screen, scientifically programmed to readjust your thoughts. We've been engineering it for over a decade, broadcasting out little bits and hints all over the major media.
You might think of it as a worm or a virus. We've hidden it in episodes of The Apprentice and in advertisements. For years, we've transmitted the sequence of patterns, and for years, people have watched unsuspecting.
We transmitted the programs, and they became buried in the amygdala, deep in your head. And then one day, we turn on the signal. We waited for that day. Today is that day.
Hey, I got a question.
And now we have an army, prepared to do our bidding at the right signal, prepared to vote for our puppet and to commit violence for our puppet. Donald Trump!
First, we take over the party. Then we take over the most powerful country in the world. And then...
world domination, Krasty. That is the big game. World domination.
You wanted to know how we did it, Governor Krasty? Now you know. Now you know everything.
Save us! Donald Trump will save us all!
Will violence and rioting break out in the convention when the leadership tries to take away Trump's nomination? Will Trump's mysterious backers succeed in their fiendish plot? And who will win the opposition party, Hillary Clinton or Cerny Banders?
Tune in next month for the thrilling conclusion to the Yubu radio production, The Candidate.
I didn't know you were in there.
We have a long
day. The Candidate was written by Rolf Semperbon and performed by the following voice actors.
Victor Rattlehead.
David.
Jenna.
Chili Pepper.
Martin Dodge.
Demi.
Conch.
Sweet Pea.
Rolf. Carl Crowley.
Larry.
Martin.
We interrupt this program for an important radio interactive membership moment. This is your chance, listener, to save this show and help this station.
That's right, listener. My name is Randy Saucepan, and I'm here with Sweet Pea.
And now we're airing the Sarah Palin Trump acceptance speech, and we'll keep airing that speech until you call 503-231-8187 and make a donation, become a member. That will make us stop.
Are you ready to make America great?
You might call it a bribe, or you might turn this radio off. But no, you are still listening. We need your help. We need your proactive action to stop this thing.
By calling 503-231-8187 and give us money to stop this.
Rock and rollers. And holy rollers!
Give a tax-deductible contribution or put yourself on a monthly main line of KABU support for only $5 or $10 a month. That's all it takes to stop this.
You all make the world go round.
Wouldn't you rather listen to radio theater than this blithering idiot?
That's why I would jump in into a primary.
Then give us some frickin' money, dude! Don't be such a tightwad. Call.
No, Randy Saucepans didn't mean that.
Call 503-231-8187.
I was told, you know, warned left and right, you are going to get spit out. And, you know, I'm thinking, and?
Yeah. Oh, I thought I was too.
Oh, you too?
You guys haven't tried to do that every day since that night in 08 when I was on stage. Hello. Nominated for VP.
Is this KABU?
You're on the air, caller.
Why are you airing this rambling idiot?
I'm still standing.
This is a complete waste of radio time.
All you need to do is contribute some money and we'll stop airing it.
That's blackmail. You can't blackmail your listeners.
Ha ha! Believe me, we here at the UBU have done much worse to listeners over the last 13 years of our existence, which I will not bring up right now, because we can't provide you great radio theater without your support.
Call 503-231-8187.
Hello?
Hello?
And if you
love your freedom, hello? Yes, hello?
I'm trying to call the radio station.
Yes, we can hear you.
Will you shut it off? It's terrible. Her voice is like fingers on chalkboard.
And how much do I give for us to turn it off?
Are you asking for money?
That's right. We need your contribution. We're raising money for this non-profit radio station.
By hearing this bullshit? Never. That's how you're raising money?
No. Give us the money and we end this now and return to our normal programming.
Just last week, we're watching our sailors.
I think they hung up. Anyone else? 503-231-8187. Now's the best time. Your donation to KABU will end this sketch. 503-231-8187.
Hello, you're on the air. How much do you want to give?
You people have reached a new low. Inflicting Sarah Palin on the radio listeners like this, it's unconscionable.
All you have to do is give us money and we'll stop the Palin.
Trumpeters, well, they're not conservative.
Your call
enough.
To 503-231-8187 will do it.
What the heck would the establishment know about?
Call now and make your contribution count. Otherwise, it's going to be a long 20 minutes between now and midnight.
Right-wing and bitter clinging proud clingers of our guns, our God, our in our religions,
a
and
terrible
our
idea. You guys are crazy.
That we're not red enough.
Such drastic actions aren't needed to get people to call up. 503-231-8187.
He's got the guts to wear the
They'll do it because they love this show and a lot of other stuff
on
KABU. On
his sleeve.
They will do it because KABU means something to Portland. You don't need to do this.
Wanted to duck and hide. They didn't want
and
to
then it stopped.
He brought him home.
The recording of the ranting woman hopped up on meth. Someone called 503-231-8187 and gave us money. Someone saved us! And now we can go back to the program! As we continue with the
UBU Hour!
Thirsty. Oh, so thirsty. Parched. It's pitch black. Leg throbbing. It feels like it may be crushed. Oh, can hardly move. Wonder how long I've been like this. Last I remember, I was getting bounced around and hurting a lot, and then nothing. Must have been unconscious. Still hurting a lot, though. But not hungry yet. Just thirsty. Wonder if I'll last long enough to get hungry.
How much time has gone by? The minutes don't fly when you're having a bad time. Good one, buddy. So this is what it's like being buried alive. What a great story I'll have to tell my kids, assuming I live long enough to have any. About as bad as I ever expected it to be. Not that I ever really expected to be buried under a pile of crap. Yeah, whoever figures are going to be buried under a building. God, it's worse than anything I could ever have predicted. Must be what a coffin feels like. Cramped, can't move. I would have expected to feel claustrophobic, but I must be in too much shock for that. Pitch black. Does that make it better or worse? Maybe I wouldn't like seeing what I could see. Remember that time coming home from school when that bully grabbed you and threw you on your back and flipped you over on your stomach? He pinned you, put a bear hug on you. Worst feeling ever, not being able to get loose from a bear hug. I screamed and screamed, that only made it worse. I should have relaxed, but I couldn't. I guess it's some kind of personality disorder. Feeling so panicked when you're restrained. Gotta force myself to relax now. Keep calm. There's only two ways out of this, and one of them is worse than the other. Well, death is probably a lot likelier than the other. Can't do anything about that. How long was I unconscious? What difference does it make? What I should be thinking about is how long it'll take me to lose my mind. Guys in solitary confinement, how long does it take them before they lose their minds? They're not in total darkness, though, are they? And they can at least move their bodies. That might make a difference. No light here, no sound, air. It stinks. Maybe there's no oxygen. That could kill me. Something else I never heard about before. No air when you're buried under rubble. But then, like I say, I never really thought about it. Never figured on dying this way either. How much air have I got in this trap? How long would it take to suck up all the oxygen in here? With any luck, I'll suffocate before I go crazy. Yeah, well, with any luck, I wouldn't have ended up here under tons of building to begin with. The Chapman Building, constructed 1899, a fine example of late 19th century architecture. The building where I work. Well, used to work, actually. Now it's piled on top of me. Just think, a few hours ago, who knows how many, my biggest concern was getting the Franklin file finished by the end of the day. Doesn't seem all that important now, does it? Everything's relative. Maybe I should kill myself. Am I ready to kill myself? Maybe not right now, not yet. A few more hours of this could push me over the edge, though. What am I talking about? I can't kill myself. How would I do it? No way to do it. Can't strangle myself, could shoot myself if I had a gun. I'd have to be able to reach it, though, and how would I do that? I can't move. There's something for the gun nuts who are always putting up reasons for arming themselves, an excuse they never used, at least to my knowledge. You should always carry a gun in case you ever get buried under a pile of debris and have no chance of getting out. With no hope evident, you could at least put a bullet in your head. But that's assuming you could reach the gun, which I couldn't even if I had one. carrying a pocket knife would be better than carrying a heavy gun. With a little pocket knife, you could open a vein and let the life trickle out of you. Yeah, that would do the trick. But I couldn't reach that either, even if I had one. Had to be an earthquake. I wonder how big. There's got to be more honor in dying from a big quake, say an 8.0, rather than a little one, right? Well, Mom, you were right. You told me don't take that job in Old Town. Too dangerous with all those crazy people down there. Come on, Mom, you worry too much. Well, I see now it's not that you worry too much. It's that you worry about the wrong things. Should have worried about earthquakes. Never crossed my mind either. When it comes to guessing how you're going to meet your end, you and me both overlooked earthquakes, didn't we, Mom? Yeah, the real danger when working in an old building downtown in a city on a major fault line is not the unsavory characters who hang around its street corners. It's the big moving tectonic plates under it. So you were right. I should have stayed home. Should have stayed in Bluefield. We never have earthquakes there, right? Could have happened, though. It's not all that far away from here. Hope you're not in the same kind of mess too, Mom. Wait a minute. Who was that? People digging? Nah, can't be. I'm hearing things. I must be hearing things. Yeah, I'm hearing things. Come on already. Somebody rescue me. Jesus, if only I could move my leg. Is it broken? Could just be stuck under a pile of crap. Can't reach it. Could be bleeding. Feels like it might be wet down there. I could be bleeding to death and not know it. It would probably be a blessing in disguise, right? Well, no, just a blessing. No disguise. Who needs a disguise when it's pitch black? Oh, Freddy, you're a laugh riot. God, I'm so thirsty. How many of my office drinking buddies are buried down there under this shit? I can't be the only unlucky one. How many of them would still be alive? Maybe just me? How about Helene in accounting? If she is one of them who might be under here, and if she's still alive, I'll bet she's praying her ass off right now.
Oh, dear Lord, please send someone to save me. I'm not yet ready to meet you in paradise up above. I've got a birthday party to organize for Rodney, my wonderful hubby, next week.
Listen, Helene, all those noon lunch hours you spent in the cafeteria thanking the mysterious spirit in the sky for blessing the greasy food he put on your tray, those were hours you should have spent asking him why he never convinced management to do some retrofitting on their fucking weak-ass building. That way, people like you and me might not have ended up covered up to their assholes by the Diamond Communication Corporation's flimsy building. But that comes under the heading of crying over spilled milk. Or crumbled brick and mortar. And who even knows whether Helene is under here with me? If she is, which one of us will they dig out first? Probably her. They could hear her screeching voice through 18 tons of busted up masonry. Oh, God, that leg hurts. Maybe the boss is down here. He'd be cursing up a blue streak. How would he make his sales target wasting his time under a pile of bricks and mortar? Which would I rather have right now? A cold Dr. Pepper or a double scotch neat, no ice? I'm a pepper, you're a pepper,
He's a pepper. She's a pepper. Wouldn't you like to be a drunken souse? Wouldn't you like to be blotto on booze instead of a guy with a smashed leg buried under a pile of debris with practically no hope for survival? How about both? Pepper and booze. That might work too. This is getting really, really boring. Well, in the event I am bleeding to death, I won't have long to live, so maybe I should pass the time by reviewing my life instead of thinking about how much I'm hurting. My life looks like it won't be as long as I had hoped. But was it good? Well, up until this morning, it could have been a lot worse. Right now, I don't see how it could have been any worse. But that doesn't answer the question, really, does it? Was your life actually good? Oh, wait, there it is again. I'm definitely hearing something. I think I'm hearing something. Tapping? Is it tapping? Maybe not. Where was I? Was my life good? Well, I think I can safely say most of it was okay. Some parts were even quite great. Think of the first time you got laid. No. Don't think about that. It wasn't all that great. Think of one of the great times you got laid. Linda. Yeah, Linda. What a sweetheart. Wonder whatever happened to her. Never have that experience again. But at least I had it. That's something, right? Think how much greater life would have been had I not picked up the depression bug from my old man. And again, most of the time, even the bouts of depression were usually not all that bad. Drugs helped, legal and otherwise. How about living it all over again? Would I want that? Not this part, that's for damn sure. Not all the dentist visits either. All of it? Any of it? Yeah, I guess some parts, I don't know, but you don't get to pick and choose which pieces to repeat when you do the time warp again, do you? If I had the chance to live it over and try to do it better, I'd probably screw it up again somehow anyway. Practically no choices I ever made turned out right. Like the marriages. Yeah. The girls standing on the corner watching all the girls go by. Fun to watch, but not to be married to. The marriages, some okay, some bad, but all of them ending bad. My fault, their fault, Mox Nix, it's the past, over and done with. Just like me, it's only Chinatown Jake. I wonder if any of those women will be weeping, gnashing their teeth, rending their garments when they hear I'm dead. The work. Think about the work. My jobs, those were the worst disappointments. Work was my life, and most jobs turned out to be meaningless, just a pile of shit. Not grueling, just meaningless ways to put food on the table. Hell, on the grand scale of things, all of it. My whole life was meaningless. Did I make any difference in anyone's life? Get real. I made nobody happy or smarter or better person. Hell, I hardly ever even satisfied myself. Be happy in your work, Colonel Guinness. All work, no play, make Jack Dull boy. Sesu Hayakawa, Bridge on the River Kwai. What if I had made a great movie that became a classic, like that one? What if I had written a terrific book, acclaimed bestseller? Would I have been satisfied? Probably not. Brief flashes of grandeur, then yesterday's news. All but gone with my wind. All gone. What have you done for me today?
What will you accomplish tomorrow? Go fuck yourself.
Crap. The leg is almost numb. Even in the unlikely event I'm going to be rescued, it might have to come off. Don't want to be one-legged for the rest of my life. Hey, somebody's calling. I'm down here. Help! Down here. It stopped. Did they hear me? It was someone calling, wasn't it? College, what a waste of time that was. Never got me a good job. Cheesy work for cheesy salaries. Never got me a job I loved. Never even gave me a good education. What did I learn of philosophy, Greek mythology, ancient history, the classics? Nothing. Never helped me figure out what makes people tick, why I have such a hard time relating to people, and those degrees sure ain't getting me out of this fix. UCLA and Syracuse, hear me. You didn't prepare me for life. Me and my high IQ. I can hear you now, teachers, professors. You're so smart, why don't you save yourself? As if things ain't bad enough. Now I gotta take a shit. Didn't I tell you to go before we left home this morning? Mom's horror of horrors. They're gonna find me dead wearing dirty underwear. I should care. But how long before I died? How many hours would I have to live with that stink if I shat my pants now? Come on, ruler of the universe, cut me a fucking break, will you? At least let me die before I have to void my bowels. Think of something else, something other than shit. See how many women you can remember, the ones you had sex with. Who was the first? Some girl in Korea, a prostitute. Never knew the names of any of those Korean girls. Remember that skinny one? She was so good. She wasn't the first, and really shy. I doubt she was going to make a career of that. Probably eventually got a factory job. Funny, the ethics of the whole thing never crossed my mind. It was Korea. Place was a nasty mess after the war. Nothing there for an army private to do but find a girl and pay her $10 for a short timer. Somebody say something? Did I hear someone say something? Is there somebody out there trying to find people still alive? Well, here I am. I'm still alive. Find me. Unbury me. Fix my leg. Change my shitty drawers. Do something. Until you do, I think I'll get some sleep. Air is getting a little close in here. And my leg is definitely very wet.
A Man Sleeping Under the Bricks was a radio play written and performed by Martin Dodd.
This has been the Ubu Radio Theater Hour, coming at you every first Monday at 11 p.m. here on KBOO Portland.
We won't be back until next month, but have no fear, because there's radio theater every Monday night.
And if you want to listen to other Ubu Hour shows, you can podcast us on the web.
Go to kboo.fm and look for Ubu, spelled U-B-U.
Does your employer have a matching gift program? Many companies offer a dollar $4 matching charitable contribution for donations you make to KABU. The impact of your gift may be doubled or possibly tripled. Participating companies also match gifts made by retirees and or spouses. Matching gifts are a great way for you to maximize your membership dollars. Check with your company's human resources or accounting departments to find out if your employer matches charitable contributions, then request a matching gift form. For more information on companies making matching gifts, go to kboo.fm/employer matching.
This is David Barsamian, host of Alternative Radio, heard Tuesday mornings at 9 on KBOO Community Radio in Portland, Hood River, and Corvallis. I'm visiting Oregon in May and will appear in Portland on Friday, May 13th. I hope you can join me at the First Unitarian Church of Portland at 7 p.m. for this fundraising event for KBOO. Visit them online at kboo.fm for more information. I look forward to seeing you on my Saving the Planet tour.
Tiki Cha-Cha Club.